And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text this morning is going to be the feeding of the 5,000. You've heard that text before, probably ever since Sunday school. What I want us to do this morning, we're going to get there in a minute, but Mark 6, verse 41, like I said, we're going to get there quite yet, so you'll turn there eventually, but Mark 6, 41, and I want you to notice the first five verbs of that verse. But before we get to those verbs, I want to start with where our text started. And if I were going to start, where did we start? It is with the concept of rest. Doesn't that sound good? Rest. This, like many gospel lessons, kind of picks up midstream. Did you notice it says that the disciples come to Jesus and they say to him, these are all the things that God has been doing. And the background to that is earlier in the chapter, verses 6 to 13. Jesus had sent the 12 out two by two. By the way, that's a great principle. But sent them two by two out to preach the gospel, actually even to cast out demons, he gave them that power. And he sends them out on a mission trip, and they come back, and they're pumped up, they're fired up. And they say, Jesus, guess what God has been doing? And it's funny that Jesus is happy about it, but he says, okay, guys, but let's get away and have some rest, right? So isn't that the way it is? There's stuff to be done. The work of the church is to be done. The ministry that you have among the people that you know is to be done. And after you do it, what do you need? Some rest. The Greek word actually is strong. It means to cease, to stop. Doesn't that sound nice? We run so much. Every once in a while, just to stop. And then the text says to get some rest. The Greek word there literally means just a little rest. So I don't know that they're going away for a long vacation, because they get onto the boat and that they're riding on the boat. And what's everybody doing? They're the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is not that big. Everybody on the shore is watching the boat, and they're following along on the shore so that when they land, they're thronged by people once again. So there's the rest. The boat ride was the rest. They didn't get away anywhere. They didn't go to Savannah, Georgia or anything like that. They were on the boat and they got off. So the first part is rest. It's really necessary. You've got to build some rest into your time and schedule. But I want us to notice, if the first part is rest, the second part, I would call it back to ministry. Back to ministry. Jesus said rest, and they're thinking, hey, great, I want to rest. I want to break. Let's go to the beach or something like that. They get on the boat, they got off the boat, and what's happening? Thousands of people. Think of this. When we aren't not necessarily up to people, and then we have someone come toward us that we're like, what do we do? Don't we kind of shrug the shoulders and kind of groan like, oh, I wasn't ready yet. You ever do that? It's really difficult to do that. And then sometimes to pray, Lord, I had a little rest. Empower me for ministry. And I'm assuming that most of us do this. I always remember this, that when I was in high school, my high school job was I worked at a movie theater. And most days, the first movie started at 7:30. That meant we opened the doors at 6 o'clock. You know what it means to open the doors at 6 o'clock? It means the doors are not open at 5:59. Do you hear what I'm saying? The doors open at 6 o'clock, and there's always a few people that come early, and they stand there at the glass door, and they're looking at you. Anybody have that experience? They're looking at you like, we can come in, and you're looking at your watch. We don't open at 5:58. We don't open at 5:59. When do we open? 6 o'clock, that's when we'll let you in, right? You know what I mean? But that's a natural inbuilt thing for us. It's a thing to hear this word of scripture then. Rest, then back to ministry. Key verse, Mark 6:34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. Right? He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he saw their need, and he didn't shrug his shoulders, and he didn't go, we open at 6. Jesus saw the need, and he had compassion on them, because they're like sheep without a shepherd. Let me ask you this. Are people lost today? Are people wandering around without a sense of direction? Are they wandering around without a sense of godly direction? Yeah, and so we have to ask to be moved by the Lord to see that, and like the Lord, to have compassion. Now, those are the background to the text where he feeds them, but I want us to notice this. I want to say that there's two feedings going on. We always emphasize the breaking of the bread and the fish because that's the miracle, and the miracle kind of draws our attention to it. Jesus feeds their soul too. I want us to catch that. Mark 6:34 says that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I want us to notice that's not the whole verse. The rest of the verse says this, so he began teaching them many things. Do you notice that? He began teaching them. That's not yet feeding them bread, it's feeding them what? Word of God. What do people need? They need the Word of God. People need the hope and the promise of God contained in Scripture, right? That's the principal job of the church, to preach and to teach, and not just the pastor, by the way. The job of the church is to preach and teach, to reach the lost, to reach the hurt and the broken, and to bring them the work of healing and restoration with what God has done. I don't want you to notice that, right? They're like sheep without a shepherd. What does he do? Teaches them. And I do love that the Bible regularly uses the metaphor that is literally like a feeding. We often say that I need to be fed the Word of God. That's exactly the way the Bible thinks about it, too. Did you know, I was thinking about my message, and I thought, there are several places in the Bible where God says to a prophet, take this scroll and eat it. Remember that? That happened several places. Literally, take this scroll and eat it. That means to take it down into yourself. And I looked it up. It happens in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 3, Jeremiah 15, 16, and Revelation 10, 9. So all across Scripture's pages, God says, take my word and eat. And you remember that old prayer when we would say, thank God for the Scriptures, and we would say, let us what? Hear, read, mark, learn, and what's the last one? Inwardly digest, that old, old prayer. It's a beautiful thing, though, right? Let us hear the word of God, read it, mark it, learn it, and inwardly digest it to bring it into ourselves. And here's a fun part of the text. How long did Jesus preach? It doesn't give us a time, but it does say these words. By this time, it was late in the day. Who here is hoping that I preach till about 4 p.m. this afternoon? Yeah, not me either. I'd be hungry and ornery myself. But this is late in the day, and I love the disciples' reaction. Jesus has fed their souls with the Word of God, and the disciples look at the crowds, they look at their watch, and they say, Jesus, send them away. Right? Send them away. Let them go take care of themselves. What does Jesus say? You feed them. You feed them. And they, like the church ever since, are immediately struck with their inadequacy. You feed them. What, Lord? Or take half a year's wages to buy lunch for all these people. And what does Jesus say? Well, what do you have? What do you have? What do they have? Five loaves, two fish. The text tells us there's 5,000 men, there's women and kids, there's 10,000, 12,000, 15,000 people there. Five loaves and two fish, 15,000 people. I do want us to understand Jesus does a miracle, right? Some modern people come up with wacky explanations like Jesus taught them to share. Phooey on that. Jesus multiplied it. He broke it and it grew. He broke it and it became more. Jesus took five loaves, two fish. They gathered up 12 basketfuls. I almost want to say basketball. I know it's the playoffs, right? Basketfuls of leftovers. That's a miracle. And I want us to notice the verbs. Here they are. We'll glance at them quickly. Five verbs. Jesus is given the five loaves, the two fish. Here's the verbs. Taking, looking, blessing, breaking, giving. And I want us to notice it this way. This is what Jesus does to feed them, but I want us to hear it from the level that this is also what the church does to do what? To feed. Okay, here they are. Taking, looking, blessing, breaking, giving. Taking what? Taking five loaves and two fish. That's what they had. Wouldn't you rather have more? 15,000 people, five loaves, two fish, is that enough? No, right? We need to get that. No, it's not. It's never enough in church. When we look at what we need to do, when we look at a ministry, what's the first thing we think? We don't have enough. Yeah, we do. We do. We really do. The Lord gives us enough. He takes it and he blesses it and he prospers it. We have to move beyond that thing constantly of we don't have enough. What we have is what we have, right? We give that to the Lord. And I want you to notice this, that our insufficiency plus his sufficiency is always more than enough. It's more than that. God has given us what we need. Now, taking, so he receives it, looking, really, he looks up to heaven. Jesus takes those fish and loaves. He looks up to heaven. What's that? That's a prayer thing, right? It's a God thing. In Jesus' ministry, everything is a God thing. It's not just logistics. It's not just planning. When Jesus works, everything is a God thing. So where do all good gifts come from? From God. If you have a really awesome job and you have a good salary, where did your gifts and talents come from? From God. Sometimes we say, I lucked out, or I got lucky. There's no such thing as luck. If you've had good fortune, where does that come from? From God. And so Jesus gets that. He looks up to heaven to be mindful that this is a God thing. Whatever we have, much or little, it's from God, and he wants to praise and thank God. I always think this is funny, by the way, that he looks up to heaven. Very often we teach kids, when you pray, how are you supposed to do your head? We teach them to bow their head down. That's okay. That's humility. I'm not trying to correct that. Jesus talks about the two men that go up to the temple, and one is arrogant and puffed up, and it says the other guy won't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He's praising that man's humility. But you know that in the Bible, the language of prayer is often not just eyes, but hands up. That's the way they would pray. And it is all over the Bible, by the way. In the book of the Revelation to John, God says to John, come up here. And what does he do? He looks up. Isaiah 6 says this, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted. What did Isaiah do? He looked up. 1 Timothy 2:8, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands. So you can look up too, right? We can bow our head, but to look up. So Jesus takes the bread, he looks up to heaven, and then the NIV says he gave thanks. The Greek actually says he blessed it. So that's why I said blessing. The word there is oilogeo. Oi means good, logos means word. What does oilogos mean? Put in a good word. To take what we have and to bless it, be thankful for it. Fish and bread. Is that what you would order at a restaurant? Sometimes I want the fish, but I want the lobster, don't you? I want the filet mignon, that's what I want. I love it says Jesus blessed it. He didn't say, oh, if only we had some good grass-fed beef here. He didn't say that. He said, we got bread and fish, and what does he do? He says a good word over it. He blesses it. So we bless things, right? We receive what we have. We bless it. We ask God's blessing on it. So taking, looking, blessing, breaking, to share stuff, what do you got to do with it? You got to break it up, right? There is something about us that just tends to grasp, right? We want to hold on to. I'm not sure why it's written on the human heart, that thing of what's mine is mine, what's yours is negotiable. Everybody knows that phrase. I don't know why we have that imprinted on us. We think, I got to get more. I got to accumulate. And what does Jesus do? The Greek word there, to break, it literally means to break it into small pieces. So you break it, and if I want to share some of what I have, what do I got to do? I got to break some up and give it to you. I got to let go a little, right? And we sort of think, but if I let go, I'll have less. That's not true, actually. Have you ever noticed that the most generous people you know are usually doing okay? It's the people that clutch at it. I hope that doesn't sound like a stewardship message, but there is a truth there. People that clutch after stuff don't have as much. Proverbs 11:24 says it just as clearly as it can. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. It is a godly thing to get. I'm going to break it up and I'm going to give it. I'm going to break it up and give it. In the Bible, often the phrase breaking bread is the way they reference going out together and sharing a meal. That's a nice thing, isn't it? It's nice to go out to a meal with brothers and sisters in Christ. The last one is giving. What does he do? He didn't break it, just have piles. What does he do? He gives. Isn't that the nature of God? To give. What do we need? He gives it. Not everything we want, but what do we need? He gives it. He provides it. That is nature, God's nature. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. Right? I want us to notice this, by the way, that he fed their soul by teaching them. But this is now, what are they? They're hungry. So what does he give them? Food. A friend of mine, when he was a young man, his parents were missionaries in India. And so he grew up part of his life in India. And his father used to always say, people can't hear the gospel when they're hungry. There's a truth there, right? If people need teaching, let's teach them. If they have a physical need, what? Let's meet the physical, right? Let's feed them. So it's both are there. So that, I do agree with that. People can't hear the gospel when they're hungry. Jesus saw their hunger and he said, well, let's feed them. That is the giving nature of God. So those are the verbs. Taking, looking, blessing, breaking, giving. People hear this text and say, by the way, is it about the sacrament? I think it foreshadows the sacrament. It's not a text heavy in theology about how to understand the sacrament, but I want us to hear this again if you think of it that way. Jesus takes bread, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it to them. Does that foreshadow the sacrament? I think it does. It's not the sacrament at that specific moment, but he is foreshadowing that. What does Jesus do? He feeds us. He feeds us. Even now, this morning, we will come to his altar where once again bread is broken and blessed and distributed among God's people. And us having been fed to feed. Right? Having been fed to feed. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.